John 15, Jesus says what? I am the vine, ye are the branches, right? Notice what he says there in verse 1 and 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now we're going to look at that a little bit. Hopefully the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping to go a little longer than that. Talking about the vine and the branch. And I've titled the message series, The Branch Life. The Branch Life. We ought to be living the branch life, right? All of us ought to be living a true branch life. Now, I bought enough of these little plants. Now, bear with me here. This is the closest thing I could find to a vine, okay? Our area, we don't have very many. I asked the lady today, and she said, oh, no, no, those are out of season. You're not going to find any of those. So I went over, she showed me over, and she said, this is the closest thing you're going to find to a vine. And I said, well, how much are they? They were on the clearance. I said, I'll take them, you know? And then I said, she's like, what are you using all those for? I got like 8 of them. And I said, well, matter of fact, I'm using them for a sermon illustration at our church. She said, oh, really? Wow. I said, yeah. What church? I said, Faithway Baptist over by Subway. She said, well, I may come over sometime. I said, amen. God bless. So good little opportunity there. But anyways, I got enough for all of you kids to have one of these, okay? Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to take this and for the next, however long, till the end of the year, what do we got, about 6 months? I want you to take care of this and pet it and love it. No. And take it, water it, put it in the sun. Who's ever gets the longest, okay? By December, we got a long time, December. I don't know if these things will survive. The girl said these things are pretty resilient. Miss Stevie may know better than that. I don't know. But whoever's the longest, we're going to give you a big old prize, okay? I don't know what it is yet. We're going to give you something. Do you like cash? No, I'm just kidding. You like cash? Oh, Belle's over there. I like cash. Okay, good. I've raised you right. Amen. No. Do you like these, though? A plant? Maybe? Okay. Is that a deal? Everyone got it? Okay, deal. You gals and guys are going to work on that. Okay, get it nice and long. If you want to put some fertilizer on it, whatever you want to do, get that thing real long. I want you to think about it, though, and think about every time you look at this plant, I want you to remember, I am the vine, we are the branches, right? It's going to help us remember that, okay? Now, for you adults, I've got you a big old cactus. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're going to look at this here tonight. Okay, the branch life. We all should be living the true branch life. You know, Jesus, this is right before Jesus is actually taken, arrested, and crucified for our sins. And I'm so thankful for what he did on the cross. But before he did that, he came and he said, now listen, fellas, in particular to the apostles. He says, I want you to know something, that I am the vine, you're the branches. And without me, you can't do anything. And the whole goal of it is what? That we would bear fruit, spiritual fruit, spiritual fruit. And as we look at this here tonight, we'll get into it. First of all, I want you to notice this. There are four real specific areas that we're going to look at. There's the husbandman, there's the true vine, there's the branches, and there's the fruit. And we'll look at that over the next, hopefully, 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know yet. I'm praying about that. And we'll see that. Number one, though, tonight, I want you to see with me the true vine. The true vine. You look at this thing. How many have ever seen the real vines out there? I mean, those big grapevines. Anyone been to a vineyard before? Some of you have. And those things are thick, aren't they? Big old vines. And then they have the little branches shooting out all over the place. And they, at the end of those branches, have a cluster usually of grapes or other things. We had one on one of our houses on the side. Boy, it was some kind of weird weed or something. What do you call those things with those gourds? Remember, you know, they grow around here, they're real wild. I don't know what those are. And it was huge. And to try and cut that thing was crazy, isn't it? It intertwines with everything else. It's just so rooted in there. And what a wonderful picture for us to think about. But notice what he says. First of all, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. There's a lot of vines out there, but there's the true vine. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man. I tried to emphasize that today to Mr. Jones. And I said, Mr. Jones, are you a Christian? He said, I am. I believe. And then I pointed and I said, but do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He said, absolutely, I do. And I pray he does. And I hope that I can continue to work with him and go visit him and other things. And you think about it, though, there's so many people out there that don't know, do they? They have a vine, but it's not the true vine, the true vine. And we have the true vine. There's many deceivers in the world today. Listen to Matthew 27. He says, verse 63, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I'll rise again. Now, they called Jesus Christ a deceiver. A deceiver. He is not the deceiver. He is the Christ, or that Christ, as we've been saying on Sunday evenings. Peter proclaims. No, there's many deceivers in the world. Jesus is even pointed to as a deceiver by the world, but we know the truth. 2 John 1 verse 7, you know that he warns his disciples, he warns his children. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He likens the two, synonymous, deceiver and antichrist, right? The antichrist, as you know, your Bibles, you know the end times, you know eschatology, if you will, that he is going to stand and he's not going to speak, I am a false prophet. What's he going to? He's going to deceive. I am the one that will help all of you. And there's viruses and all kinds of things going on, and I know how to unite the world. He's a deceiver. Now, we know later in the book of Revelation, Satan himself is described by the Lord as the deceiver, the one who deceived the whole world. That's his goal. He wants to deceive. So we come back to this. There are many vines, aren't there? But which one is the true vine? Which one? And you think about it, this one looks pretty good, don't it? It's got, it needs a little water. But there's a true vine. True vine. Now you think about it. Inevitably, there are many connected to the wrong vine today. Many. Consequently, you'll not bear the right kind of fruit connected to the wrong vine. The wrong vine. Now, the proclamation that without him we can do nothing is clearly seen in the vine and branch relationship. Now, you know that. If we were to disconnect one of these puppies here, this vine, from, and this isn't a good example because it's not really that, but you would say the vine maybe right in here going down there. Disconnect. It's good for nothing, isn't it? Good for absolutely nothing. Can this disconnected, can this bear any kind of fruit? No, it's got to stay connected, doesn't it? It's got to get the nutrients down and suck that up and disperse it so that it can produce the fruit. I know I'm being kind of elementary here tonight, but it's very helpful to me to think about that we need to be connected. He says, abide in me and I in you. It's very simple. Doesn't Christ make it simple for us? I'm so thankful for that. So thankful. Abide. Well, Lord, what do I do? Stay close to me. Don't sin. Read your Bibles. Know what I've given you to do. I've spoken to you. Do what I've asked you to do. Now, no such care could be given with such love and attention as that from the Father. Now, the Father is who? He's a husbandman. Now, the husbandman is a word we don't use much today, but he's basically the gardener, isn't he? He comes. He's the one that planted this. He's the one that waters this. He's the one that takes care of this. And by the way, he will come. And he's going to do what? See this dead stuff here? What's he going to do? He's got to snip it off, doesn't he? Look at this dead one here. Let's take that off. It's good for nothing, ain't it? But he says he casts it out and he throws it out and it'll be burned. There is a pruning knife that the husbandman does, doesn't he? Takes care of those things. Now, we'll get into that in a minute. But we think about the attention and care that the husbandman gives. By the way, God will not let you down. God, every promise God gave to Israel, he fulfilled, didn't he? To the T. Every promise Jesus made, he fulfilled. He took care of it. And he's taking care of it right now. We know that very true. Don't think for a minute the husbandman will not take care of this. Well, if I reach out and branch out and start, boy, really trying to bear a lot of fruit, and I start going out and really letting this thing grow wide and doing all this, what if he doesn't water and it just dies? What if he doesn't cultivate? What if he didn't put any maybe fertilizer on it? And I do all this stuff and it just ends up dying out there. No. The husbandman, he'll take care of you. The gardener, the picture here of the Father will truly take care. He'll provide. He'll answer every request. He'll fulfill every promise. Now again, the Son can do nothing of Himself. You remember Jesus described this several times on earth. In John 5:19, He says that He is dependent upon the Father, on the vine. And He makes a statement, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Nothing. All that the Father has given me, that's what I've told you. He said that, right? I do always those things that please the Father. That's His goal, Jesus said. So again, coming back to, He's dependent upon the vine. What a wonderful picture for you and I. So too the Son is dependent upon the Father in this picture. John 14:10, He says, believest thou not that I am the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Now, we'll see here tonight very briefly. There's two individuals that emerge from this. There's the fruit bearers and the non-fruit bearers. The fruit bearers. Now, let's go back to Matthew 7, if you will. I want you to see how Jesus describes this here. Matthew 7, verse 17, let's pick up there. Matthew 7:17, He says, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Verse 18, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, notice, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. Isn't that true? You will know people by their fruits, what they say and what they do. Now again, we must come back to understanding that. People will often say, you can't judge me. You're not supposed to judge me. Well, that's not biblical. We are to judge the outer. Now, not in a critical, harsh way. We're to judge righteous judgment. If you are living in a sinful way, we as Christians must go, I'm sorry, we can't fellowship with you. Well, you're judging me. No, that's righteous judgment. I'm not to judge your intentions, right? I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what's inside, so I can't judge that. That's what God judges. Again, coming back to this. The one is taken away, the other is purged with the pruning knife. The Lord Himself told us that we are to know them by their fruit. The internal is judged by God, but the external is judged by those that judge with righteous judgment, as we said. Now, today many believers are confounded, they're confused. When trials and troubles come their way, they go, oh, God must not be proud of me. God must not want me to succeed. God must not. And yet this Christian is not living in sin. He's not living in a bad habit. He's living for Christ. He's trying to bear righteous fruit, and yet still bad things happen. You ever feel that way? All the time. What's going on? Jesus, the husbandman, the Father, are working and pruning us so we'll bring forth more fruit, more fruit. And so often Christians confuse that. Well, the Lord, I've been living my life for Him and serving Him and doing all I can right, and still things are not happening, still things are going wrong. Think about that. God's actually allowing that into your life so you can bear more fruit. And then later He says, much fruit. I want a lot of fruit. I want a lot of fruit in my life, okay? Now, thinking through this, how often is the pruning snips of our Lord that have come because of the fruit we've borne? He brings more. A mark, again, I said this, a mark of an unspiritual person is the inability to discern the work of God in their lives. Their inability to discern the Word of God and the work of God. Bad things happen, they go, well, I don't know what's going on, I'm just going to quit. Well, you missed the point. God was actually pruning because He wanted, if I don't snip this off at the end right here that's dead, if I cut it off, it's going to grow more, isn't it? It's going to grow longer. But if I don't, it may start to affect this whole vine right here. We have to be very careful, right? Jesus is saying that the husbandman will snip. He's going to prune. He's going to purge so that you can bear more fruit. This is why self-examination is habitually needed in the life of the child of God. We need to take self-examination. The greatest self-examination for each one of us is daily time in the Bible. The Bible comes and it reads us and it says, Tim, nuh-uh. But I thought that I would, no. But I thought that was okay to say, no. But I thought if I just skip out, I'll catch up with it tomorrow. No, it corrects me, doesn't it? Self-examination. Now, note here the desire for constant fruit bearing. Not just spurts of fruit or maybe a one-time event years ago where you had a lot of cluster of grapes on the vine. Maybe back in the 80s, 90s, I don't know, 2000s. Man, I had a good year. I had a great decade and I bear so much fruit. God says, yeah, that's great, and I'm proud of that, and I'm so thankful, but listen, you stopped when I started to prune because I wanted more fruit. But I want you to keep growing. I want you to consistently, habitually bear fruit. Bear fruit. Now, a constant bearing. The desire for constant fruit bearing, rather a constancy of fruit yielding in the life of his children. This fruit must not be mistaken as a product for the Lord, but is in fact for our benefit. Do you notice that in the scriptures? Everything God does and Jesus does is for us, isn't it? Isn't it? You kids, you may not realize this, but everything your parents do is for you, isn't it? You go, well, why do they always make me do this? Or why do they have us do this? And why is daddy always working? And why is they're doing everything for you, all right? You don't realize that till you get older. You don't realize that. Everything they do is to help you to grow, help you to bear fruit, right, in your life. Hopefully spiritually, understanding all of that. Now, the fruit. Now, let me say just a couple things here and I'll wrap it up. Number one, there's a need for self-examination, as I just said. It said, notice this, that three out of the five, we say, for instance, grapes on a cluster, three out of the five are cut that the remainder may attain their full size. Isn't that interesting? They'll take the cluster, say five of them, and they'll cut three off and just leave two. Why would you do that? Because they know that it's going to produce much more at the end of the season. And so too God. Sometimes God may prune something off. And we'll go, oh, I wanted that fruit, Lord. I wanted that. It took me a while to look at all that I did. God says, well, you need to come back to realize you didn't do it. Maybe that's something for you, for me especially, to realize that's not me. I didn't do that. God is doing that. He wants me to come back to realization. Without me, verse 5, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, right? Bringeth forth. You ever seen something like corn, for instance, die on the cluster? Does no good. If it falls to the ground, what does it do? Sprouts up. It can produce more. And the great picture there given to us. So a warning is given. A warning. Verse 4, he says, to beware, that we do not heed that classic lie. We can bear fruit outside of Christ. Remember what Satan came to the Adam and Eve in the very beginning, and he gave that great declaration of independence. You don't need God. You don't need God. You do it on your own. You don't need him to lead your marriage. You can handle it. You don't need God stifling your walk and telling you what to do all the time. Good night. Your coworkers do whatever they want to do and get away with it. You don't need to be stifled by that, the standards of your church and of the Bible. And you don't need to follow your parents and listen to what they tell you to do all the time. Declaration of independence, isn't it? From God. From God. Self-examination. So there's a warning here. Very warning. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It can't do it. You're spinning your wheels. You're drinking your own bathwater. If you think that you can produce fruit, if I disconnect this puppy and put it over there and think, okay, now grow. Well, we'll come back on Sunday. That thing will turn brown and dead, won't it? Be dead. And it's so practical to think about, yet we miss it. If you're like me, I miss it. So practical, so easy to understand, yet I miss it. I miss it so often. Stay connected to the vine. Abide in me. Abide in me. Heeding that classic declaration of independence, it's permeated the lives of so many throughout history. To think that one could bear fruit alone, let alone survive outside of the branch, is preposterous. And yet how many millions have attempted the very, very act, the very act. Now this stems directly from the influences of the world, flesh, and the devil, as we've talked about before. It's a stern warning. We hear throughout the New Testament, especially Peter, Paul, James, Jude, what do they say? Hey, avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid those things that will disconnect you from this vine. This world tells you don't need to be connected. The flesh tells you don't need to be connected, right? The devil, the adversary says, especially, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. You don't need God. You don't need God's standard. You have your own intellect. You have what's called your own conscience. That's good enough. It's not, is it? Because my conscience, my own heart, led me the wrong path. I know for all of us. Well, I know I'll figure things out when I get, I'll quit that addiction when I get to a certain age. No, you didn't. It's a problem. You can't do it. A fool a fool trusts his own heart. You recall Proverbs 28. Now coming back to the world, the flesh, and the devil. The apostles and Jesus Christ obviously said, avoid and have nothing to do with those things. The proclamation of love not the world, the flesh, the devil. So we have to bear fruit. Now, let me just talk about the fruit for a minute. I have a lot more to get into next week about the fruit. But thinking about it, Galatians 5 describes that fruit of the Spirit, as you recall. Galatians 5, and notice this with me. Paul's writing to a group of churches in particular in the region of Galatia, a very confused church once again, a church that was influenced and had been directly infiltrated by the Judaizers, saying that you don't need the Holy Spirit, you need circumcision and the law, right? And Galatians, he says, now I want to remind you people of what you're supposed to be producing. And Galatians 5, verse 22 in particular, he just went through the fruits of the flesh, okay? Verse 20 and 21. Now notice verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's possessive have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. There's nine fruits of the Spirit, right? Nine fruits. Biblically, nine is the number of fruit. And so we think about there's fruit that should be producing. People say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. You don't have to think or guess at it. Do you produce? Are you living these fruits? Are these fruits being produced? Are these fruits at the end of, for sake of our example tonight, at the end of this vine? And you think, oh, I thought I did have love. I thought I had joy. I feel happy on Monday, but Tuesday I'm a little cranky. That's not joy. As I said Sunday, there's a vast difference between happiness and joy. Happiness has to do with our happenstances, our happenings. If everything's right, then I feel happy. No, Christian joy is a constant. You're not giddy up all the time, jumping up and down, even when everyone's slapping you in the back of the head. No, but you have joy. You know it'll pass. You know God's in control. Do you have peace? A habitual, consistent peace. Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's a consistent peace in your life. You fearful? Long-suffering? Ouch. I don't know if we have a lot of that. Gentleness? Are you a gentle? Goodness? Are you a good person? Faith? Do you have the faith and meekness and temperance? And we'll get through some of these in the weeks ahead. But the fruit we have. Now, let me say lastly here, there's not only that, we need also a need. There's a great need for consecration. Now, the branch is useless without the vine. I have been planted by God, the husbandman, in Christ, the vine, to bring forth fruit and much fruit. Much fruit. The branch is useless without the vine. The sole purpose of the branch is to bear the fruit. There's complete dependence. There's consecration and complete dependence. Mark 4:8, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Not every Christian is going to produce 100. There's going to be some 60-fold Christians. There's going to be some others, 30-fold, and other things. But you must yield your life. Consecrate. Are you consecrated to Christ? Are you yielded to Him? You realize, Lord, I think I could do a little bit better with the soil on this. And he says, well, no, that's not your job. I think I could, Lord, if give me a chance, I think I need to make a few corrections here with this real quick. He says, no, that's not your job. What's my job then, Lord? Yield. Just yield yourself. Okay, Lord. Okay, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I think we need a little bit more water, Lord. And he says, well, hold on. I know what I'm doing. I'm sure thirsty. You ever feel thirsty spiritually? I'm thirsty, Lord. I've been trying to do what you want me to do and live it for you, and the kids just don't seem to listen, and they're having problems in the marriage, and their finances are having issues, and problem after problem. Lord, I'm thirsty. Hold on. I'll water you. I'm going to water you next Thursday. You're going, oh, I got to wait that long. Yeah, just wait. Because why? I know what you need to produce that fruit. I know what you need. Now, thinking about this, Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, we understand there is a crossroads for each one of us every day. Yielding to the flesh, yielding to the Spirit. Do you yield? Yielding ourselves unto God. I used to yield unto the, as he says, members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now yielding to God. Yielding. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Which one is it? Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, we understand here. Lastly, let me say James 3:12, he says, can a fig tree, listen to this, my brethren bear olive berries, either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and flesh. You can't do it. So he's saying you need to be connected to the vine. Are you connected today to the vine? How do we do that? Abide in me and I in you. Abide in him. It's not hard to do, is it? It's easy. You take time to do it. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take a yielding to him. As only I can. He will do all of the work if we'll just stay abiding in him. Not a very good example tonight, but abide in him. Stay connected to the vine. You will see amazing results in your life if you do. Well, no, you didn't do anything. Well, what did you do to have such success in the church? And how did you have such spiritual wisdom? I stayed connected to the vine. I was abiding in Christ. That's it? Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what God is asking tonight. I think we can all do it. Amen? And I sure hope so. So kids, why don't you take one of these home tonight and we're going to work at that. You don't have to do much. I mean, water it maybe once a day or so and put it in the sun. And we're going to see. And if you want to cheat a little bit, put something in it. I don't know, maybe some growth hormone or something. And we'll see whose is the longest at the end. Okay? You'll get a big old prize. Maybe a bag of peanuts or pistachios or something. I don't know. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and I will let you get out of here. All right. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your word tonight, as I say often. I thank you for those here that are so faithful to hear, Lord, and I pray something said tonight penetrated the hearts of these people. And Father, as it has spoken to my heart as I've been preparing this week, and I know that, Father, often we don't yield ourselves as we should. We don't yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness, Lord, being used of you, a tool that you can use. Help us, Father. It's not hard to do, but simply abide in you and stay connected to the vine, Lord. And because of that, you will produce in us wonderful fruit that will amaze the people around us. And, Lord, it'll help us to reach others for you. Thank you for the grace you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.